All right. Hey guys. Welcome back to Renzo the Unfriendly Ghost podcast. I know I haven't recorded anything in a while, mostly because I had to move out of my previous address and into a nice little place. It's still a one bedroom, only slightly smaller than where I was living before, and you know, there are a few differences here and there, but what's important is it's only like 900 flat, you know. It's like the kind of place you move into when you're in college. You know, when you're in college, you have a full-time job, and you can afford to pay, you know, 900, but that's it. It's one of those kind of deals. So, I mean, it's not bad. It's hidden away. It's, it's pretty much they turn a house into a three-bedroom living place. With three bedrooms, three baths, I guess. There's a bathroom in the efficiency downstairs, and then there's, you know, and so forth. Well, I'm digressing. The point is it's only slightly smaller than my last place. If you include the deck, then it's exactly the same length as my last place, with a little more nature and foliage and what have you. A lot more freedom. I can actually smoke indoors. Not that I smoke cigarettes that much anymore, but you know, the options there, if I need it, all I have to do is crack a window. But the last place was too expensive. I was telling people, well, I'm paying $1,105 a month in rent, and they're like, Jesus Christ, dude, you need to get out of that place. That's a mortgage. If you could pay that, you might as well get a house. And I'm like, oh, you're right. You know, people wouldn't tell me how much they pay for their mortgages. I guess that's not, you know, very apropos for polite conversation, and then again, I never really asked. That's like asking, hey, how much you got in your bank account? You know, I mean, I'll tell everybody, I got $0. Everything I own is in assets. It's not true, but yeah, I mean, it's gonna make recording the podcast a little trickier, because now I have to be a little extra quiet. I can't be as loud as I wanted to be. Or as I was at my last place. Because that last place, oh boy, howdy. I couldn't hear my neighbor, you know, my neighbors, I couldn't hear them unless I had a window open. Otherwise, the place was completely soundproof on the inside. You know, maybe you'd hear them stomping around in the, you know, on the floor outside or whatever, but you wouldn't really hear them all that much. Here, it's totally different. I can hear everything downstairs and to the left with me. Anyway, enough about my personal life. Video game news. I don't really haven't been keeping up with the video game stuff. Just know that Warframe is getting something about vehicle battles. I didn't pay for TennoCon, because, I figured I would have the money, you know. I would have totally had the money if I was a sober person, you know. But if I didn't think, well, I gotta save that money for weed and booze, I feel like I would have a lot more things, you know. I would definitely be one of those hardcore gamer types, but I mean, realistically, I use the stuff to try to enjoy the video games and the DVDs and stuff and the movies, because otherwise I feel like sometimes, like, you know, it's a crutch. It's what it is a crutch. Like, I met someone, she came over to my house one time, and she told me, I can't eat unless I'm high, otherwise I don't have an appetite. And I'm like, well, in my head, I'm like, well, you must smoke all the time, because you're fucking fat. No, I'm kidding, I didn't say that, but I thought it. Then I had a roommate who said, I need weed, it's my medicine. And I'm like, what does it do for you other than make you dopey and help you sit still to enjoy the boring crap that you're into? Because I watched some of the stuff he was into, and I mean, I like anime as much as the next guy, but like with movies and TV and any kind of media format, too much exposition is bad exposition. You know, it's show, don't tell, is how you write a good show. You know, it's not. Anyway, I'll talk about what he was watching. He was watching some kind of space drama, and I can't I can't figure the name because it was one of those names that had like, or one of those titles that had four words in it, four or three words in it. It's like blah blah apostrophe, or semicolon, or colon, whatever the fuck, and then the name, like Fate Zero Advent kind of shit. And I sat there and they're talking about like some Space Federation crap and blah 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 blah, and they go off to another scene where two other people are talking for a very long time, talking about the laws and all this other stuff of the place and whatever such person violated such law. And I'm like, oh my god, somebody throw a pie. You know? I'm sorry, but if I'm gonna watch some bullshit like that, like Stargate SG-1 was pretty boring, but at the very least there was some kind of, 90s style action in it. There was, bad karate and lots of flip and throw in and occasional off-world or, on location, on-world sets kind of deal. They went through the trouble of putting actors on set. Anyway, so I smoke just to kind of enjoy myself, just to enjoy whatever I happen to be into at the time, just to kind of get into it a little more, give it my full attention. Otherwise, my ADD acts right up, and it's just like, oh, there goes that. There goes whatever the hell I was just trying to watch. That's non-existent to me anymore. I don't find video games very interesting. I know. I don't find them very interesting anymore, I should say. I used to be all about them. I used to be Mr. Buy the Latest Games, Mr. Go to GameStop and pay the underpaid store clerk an extra 10. What is it? Extra 10? I mean, you pay the full price of the game, where it's either 5 the full price of the game to reserve the game. I remember paying him either full price or walking in there like a baller and paying full price or waiting to pay the $5. It really all depended. Now, if I was in a store full of people and it was a game that was about to come out, that everybody was anticipating, then you bet your ass I would turn around and be like, wham, here's full price, here's full dollars for this fucking game that's not even out yet. And it would come with all kinds of little bells and whistles, most of which you would lose, because the point is for you to grab these collectibles that you're supposed to put like on a shelf somewhere or something to commemorate this amazing game that you bought when it came out, and yada yada yada. And I never kept any of my collectibles. They've either gotten lost in a move or thrown away. One or the other, or they were broken. Like my old Metal Gear Rising lamp, it stopped working at one point, and I know I had it when I moved to Nate's place, but like most of my things, it went missing. Most of the things I when I moved in with my buddy Nate, like some of my 64 games, my lamp, a bunch of other things went missing, and I was just kind of like, I knew I wasn't in a good place, but I stayed there. I don't know why I felt the need to move in with Nate and his family. It's kind of a stupid move because I ended up moving right back in at the end of the month. How the hell did I even get here? Anywho, I'm not really into video games that much anymore, regrettably. It's just not my. Not my bag. I mean, there are people who, I'll still play like Warframe and what have you. Oh, right, we're going about the crutch. Yeah, there's some people who use drugs and alcohol as a crutch. What I use drugs and alcohol as a crutch for would be video games and movies and what have you, because I don't have the attention span to sit here and grind out the same game for the next 6 hours, or the next 4 hours, next 2 hours. I'm liable to, when I don't have anything to smoke, I'll sit there and fucking burn down cigarettes back to back to back to back. Or I'll have to catch something on Netflix that I'm really, 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 really into. I remember for a time when I didn't smoke or drink, I was watching. I was playing Skyrim. I was playing Skyrim with mods. And on occasion, I would get really, really fucking plastered and just try to plow through the game, because that's the kind of game that, when you play Skyrim with mods, you have to have a lot of patience because the game tends to crash if you put too many mods on it. And how could you not want to mod out your game? Like, I had weather stuff, I had lighting mods, I had zombie mods, I had fucking weapon mods. I remember had lightsabers at one point and force powers. They were pretty much just rehashed versions of existing powers. Like, I remember one that was super useful. Which all it really did, they recreated Force Choke, and the way they did it was they added a life drain spell and telekinesis, but the telekinesis allowed you to grab people, right? Instead of just items, this telekinesis made it so you can grab people too. So it's just a simple, I guess, change in the code. Tell the computer, hey, they can grab people now. Oh, cool. So it worked. It worked extremely well. Like, I got to the point where I grabbed the advanced version of the spell that someone made, or that the creator made for the mod, and you would be grabbing groups of people at a time, and as soon as they died, they would just fall to the floor. But if you wanted to throw them, like, if you wouldn't have enough mana, you just release the magic button, and it would fling the dude. Like it would normally with telekinesis, which I don't know if that was an intended consequence, but it's pretty badass. Then I added lightsabers after I had the force powers, and the problem with that is everybody had a lightsaber. Everyone. I mean, it was the most powerful weapon in the game, added via mods. So how could you not want the most powerful weapon, or how could the computer not choose the most powerful weapon for its NPCs? So, there were many a time where I'd get raided by bandits and it looked like I just accidentally walked into a forest rave and they were mad about it. Like, okay, double-edged swords, reverse grip swords, yada yada yada. So that's what I did. That's what I did when I tried that year of sobriety back in 2017, all the way into the very end of 2018. I just played Skyrim, and then once a week I get really, really drunk and do that. Play the modded game all the way through, which was fucking glorious, mind you. Otherwise, I guess I'm just watching movies or shit that I've already seen. Like, I hate to say it, but one of my go-tos on Netflix for the longest time was My Little Pony. Then I watched The Office all the way through because everybody wouldn't shut the fuck up about how great The Office is. And to be honest, it was funny. But I guess you'd have to be there for when it was like relevant during the time, like when it was on television and all these episodes were like new and stuff. Because when I binge watched the series, I've worked in a call center, which I guess is an office and what have you, but it's a whole lot a lot more soulless than what was going on here with The Office. And then I've been to other office buildings that kind of look like that, kind of replicate that as a security officer. And yeah, you see silly shit all around and yada yada, but most of the time people are, normally just working and don't have time to get into other people's lives, and nobody really ever stays in those offices for more than a year or two. They usually get like a transfer opportunity, or they quit or fire or find other jobs. So I found as somebody who's experienced and watched over several offices, or worked in an office and then experienced or worked over several other offices, I found the office to show to be kind of unrealistic. I mean, feel free to prove me wrong. I no longer work in a in a cubicle. Anywho. I do like my new place. I'm not gonna lie. It's not the best fucking place in the world. And I can hear everything that goes on next door. And downstairs from my living room. But, you know, it could always be worse. Could be paying this very same amount and still have to pay electric and all that stuff and living down in the other side of town where everyone seems to live. And then they have to drive several minutes a day to get here. And then they're like, yeah, I don't smoke. Like, yeah, I can imagine. I couldn't imagine driving that distance for that pay and then being able to support a smoking habit. You know, I bet that is why a lot of places pay these guards so little. They're like, well, they should be able to afford that. That should be able to, you know, they probably sit there and nickel and fucking dime you to what the average rent is in your area. You know what I mean? They probably sit there and they're like, well, if they're living in, say, Lehigh, or they're living in, say, Estero, or they're living in, say, oh, this place, then their rent would probably be this, then we think it's fair to pay them that. You know, that's how they think that it's okay to pay people about $11 an hour, because their rent, they average out, over the average rent in Lehigh is like $950 to $1,000 if they're, you know, if they're married, then that should be more than enough money. That's how the rich stay rich. Cheap bastards. I mean, I've met many a guard who would have to work, you know, my buddy, plays Greninja, who has his own YouTube channel with only 68 subscribers. You should check him out. Plays Greninja YT. He's working 7 days a week. I mean, that's pretty fucking tragic. I don't know about you. 7 days a week. Mostly because wife had a little bit of trouble at work. She's having to stay home for a while with the kids. But you know, as you do, I decided, no, do 7 days. And that's not like a 7 day third hour shift or anything like they did me. I got the alcoholic shift, the accusatory alcoholic, we're gonna give you 5 days or 6 days a week, but after your day off, you have to be at work 8 hours sooner than you expected. That's what you do to a suspected alcoholic. That way, you know, they have two choices. Either they're gonna keep drinking on their days off and keep fucking up because they have to be at work the next day 8 hours earlier than they usually or normally have to. Or, hear me out, or they're going to drink after their second shift on that day. And then when they come in for their third shift the next day, which is quote-unquote a whole day off, their body has shut down at this time, at that time yesterday, and they're going to fall asleep today, if that makes any sense. That's what you do to an alcoholic. You don't let them have a solid sleep schedule. You take a day off away from them and you fucking work them. Because I remember when I first started with this previous security company, I think on my first day I was driving the captain around and he asked me if I was drunk and I'm like, no, just loud and hilarious. And it wasn't too long before I got a shift like that. Before twice a week I had to stay an extra 4 hours, and then twice a week I had to stay an extra four. I had to work every gate they had. I was pretty much that guy that covers everyone's days off, which is pretty shitty. You know, they didn't do that to anyone else, but they were like, oh, we need someone to cover all these days off, and you know, we don't want to have patrol units do it, so we'll have this guy do it, and we'll treat him like shit. And that's pretty much what happened. I don't know. I put a year and a half into that company, and I can't remember. The only good parts that I can think of in the long run was the parts where there was actually some semblance of peace and fucking quiet. I think after my year at Rapallo, after I made a year, and then a little bit after that, things started to get pretty bad. It was kind of like, you shouldn't have to work in an environment where you feel like you're constantly looking over your shoulder. That was kind of like where I was at when it came to that office I was working at. Now, for no fucking reason, for no reason whatsoever, other than they just didn't like my personality. I had management and human resources look the other way while I had this guy just constantly fucking staring at me and harassing me and giving me a hard time because, in his mind, he was given a special seat because he was annoying me. And I went and bitched to management about it. So, whenever his seat was taken, he felt the need to come sit all the way by me and stare at me. Because this is the way this person got his jollies off. He was the kind of evil son of a bitch that he only felt joy when he was making someone else miserable, because he was a miserable fuck. He lived somewhere in like the ghetto, and he came to work in a moped. And one eventually he bought himself a Nissan Rogue or some shit, like a Nissan Rebel. Well, no. Actually, first, he bought himself a big red SUV Jeep truck thing. That's what he came to work with. That's back when I had my Blazer. Then he comes back, and I think after some time, he told somebody, his manager, that he had an accident in it. And that's why we never saw it ever again, which wasn't true. What ended up happening was he couldn't afford the payment, I guess, and took it back. Like, I'm guessing no, see, this all started, yeah. He probably went over to the store, to the car shop, said, hey, or he probably got like a rental or something just to kind of show off to me, because he had overheard me talking about buying a new vehicle. He went ahead and bought one, quote unquote, and then returned it. Because he thought, oh, look, I remember it vividly. Because this all happened shortly, this all started happening after I told him he couldn't sit in my seat or sit at my desk. Because he, they had put me at his favorite desk, so. That's the Lotus telling me that some shit's going on. So I remember, yeah, I was talking to my team manager and her boyfriend, and I had gone to training with her boyfriend, so I kind of knew them. And I was talking to them, and the dude comes, he sees that I had stood up because I guess he liked to sit near where I was most of the time. And he would make noises and spit into his cup and fuck around and clear his throat as loud as he could. He would listen. He would entertain himself that way. He would like put himself on mute while he was on the phone with I guess the manufacturer or whatever we had to call. And he would just wait for you to talk and just just start making fucking asinine, stupid ass noises, because really what he wanted to work. He wanted to work in a super quiet environment. So the way he got back at people who weren't being quiet was by being loud and disgusting. He was such an overbearing person that it takes a special something. It takes a special someone to go and just try to change their environment by force. So they didn't like me because I kept to myself, and I guess a lot of the rumors going around was that I was kind of like a shooter or whatever, like I was psychotic. I was just like, no, it's not the case. I just like being alone. You wear a hoodie every day to work, and you wear a hat, and all of a sudden people say you're a murderer. So people thought I was kind of a creep, and then they thought he was a creep, so they put us in each other's paths. I'm thinking part of the reason, because I mean, there were tons of complaints about this guy, like tons and tons and tons of fucking complaints about this guy, and I must have called Alorica Corporate about him weekly for like 3 months, for like 3 solid months. I called on a weekly basis. Because my human resources department wasn't doing anything about it. Like she literally, I remember her last conversation we had about him between me and Nikki over in human resources. I mean, this was the kind of human resources that she was gone at 1 in the afternoon. She'd come in at 8, she's gone at 1. Oh, everything seems to be in order. I'm just gonna leave. Get paid for the full day. And I brought that up with them, and I'm like, she's hardly ever available. She doesn't work weekends. She only works till 1, yada yada yada. See, I had a manager when I was 22, desperate looking for work, and I worked at Dollar General. I had a manager who was like that. He would leave. He would only work till noon. He would open the store. He'd do all the shit. He'd leave at noon. Monday through Friday, make his own fucking schedule. And I remember I brought that up with somebody, and he goes, he told me, he's like, when I, the manager of the store, leave, is none of your damn business. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure, as a store manager, you're not supposed to be leaving at noon. So, his name was Leslie. He was like a boy named Sue, and I think he might have been a store manager somewhere else. And somewhere along the way, he popped a micro dot and lost his fucking mind due to his attitude and the way he acted while he was at Dollar General. Like, I mean, fucking leaving at noon, bro. Like, seriously. Like, work 5 hours, leave. And he's like, oh, because I'm salary. And then I eventually quit because I was very unhappy there. I was given conflicting orders while I was there. I was not only being paid very little, but I was allegedly brought in as a key holder. And then they wouldn't give me a key because they quote unquote couldn't trust me. They're like, how am I supposed to give you a key if I don't trust you? And I'm like, so why did you hire me on for this position then? You know? If you don't trust me, why'd you hire me? Well, the truth was I was the only 22-year-old who came along at that time. So, anyway. Now, this was 2012. Mind you, these fuckers. What I didn't even probably realize is these fuckers were probably still really pissed about Obama getting reelected. I remember that same year. I was the day after he got reelected. I was driving around San Carlos Park, and I got pulled over by a motorcycle cop. Never seen him again since. But for some reason, Lee County sheriffs decided to dispatch motorcycle cops the day after Obama got reelected, and they were pulling over all the minorities. In fact, I got pulled over for not wearing a seatbelt and was given a $100 ticket. I'm driving around, you know, I'm literally driving around the rest of the day, just, you know, cause, oh, then I went to the bank, and the same fucking cop comes down from the bank, and he's looking into my truck. He turns his head, he's looking into my truck to try to bust me for fucking not wearing a seatbelt again. All right, same motorcycle cop. So there was him. I think it was just him. I think he was acting alone, to be honest. I think he was just pissed and decided to go where he would expect to find the most Hispanics and just go out and fucking punish them. Anyway, so I see the same cop later pulling over a like a like a Toyota suit, like an older Toyota, an older car, and he's writing that dude a ticket too. I'm like, that's a little weird because I've been riding without a seatbelt that entire time, and in fact, I've been riding without a seatbelt ever since, and have never once been pulled over and told, "Hey, you're getting a ticket for that." But this all just happened the day after Obama got reelected. Yeah, it gives you any background to, in fact, I could probably pull up the police report one day, or probably pull up the ticket one day, and hold it as proof how fucking racist this town is. I'll put that on my to-do list if I ever listen to this podcast. Build in the future, pull that ticket you got for, try to pull a public record of that ticket you got back in 2012, the day after Obama got reelected. So, in hindsight, that's probably what it was, because any job I tried to find since then, that year was just one bullshit job after another. I worked at a library for a little bit, for about 750 or for about 750 an hour, as a temporary job, and then really nowhere else would hire me. And this is 2012, so we didn't have a whole lot. We didn't have like a bunch of restaurants and a bunch of shops. Your options were like Target, the Walmart on Colonial, because there isn't a Walmart here. There wasn't a Walmart here at the time. Everything was far away. Everything was really far away from San Carlos Park. And the only, where I used to live, the only place that was available for work at the time was over at the nearby mall. And I mean, I had quickly exhausted my options there within a few months. Like, I tried Target, I tried Petco, I ended up getting a job at JP Sports for a little bit, and that went south. They ended up letting me go after a month because they were like, "Hey, you're not really into sports, and that's what we're trying to sell here." They sell sports and sports memorabilia, and it's not really like anybody ever walks up to me and asks me, "Hey, what's your favorite team?" And if not, they would tell me, "Yeah, just go for the winning team, and this is the team you're going for." And eventually, I just, I'm like, "Fuck it, I'm done. I don't give a shit." One of those deals where you have to physically go pick up your last check. I hate that. I hated that because that meant that they adjusted your final paycheck to be like the minimum wage. Like, they paid you the bare minimum for your last paycheck. And they would and I would be like every hour or every 40 hours, you'd have to quit after you've already been paid. Remember that, kids. If you're ever going to quit your job, quit after you've already got your last paycheck in your hands. I remember when I was 19, a gas station I worked at did me like that. They brought me in at $8 an hour. My last paycheck was adjusted to 7.25, and it was a spiteful old bitch who worked there too, dude. She was fat. Her belly had caught up to her sagging tits. She maybe had 20 of her 32 teeth. And her hair looked like a rat's nest and picked up in a bun, and she wore cheater glasses. Like, she was the poster child for Marlboro cigarettes. Like, she had been fat and gross her entire life, and it only had gotten worse. And she was mean and fucking spiteful. I'm talking, she would say things like, "Oh, I love my money people, because they're so desperate for money, they always come in and work overtime." "Oh, so you like the people who make your life easier, as long as they don't have a life. You're okay with these people who would, come in." And mind you, this gas station was asking for a lot. Like, if especially for the overnight employees, they wouldn't let you sit down. Like, you couldn't sit down. If they caught you sitting down, you were fired. If you leaned over to try to read the paper for a little bit, you were fired. You had to be in constant motion. I remember there was a Hispanic manager who was there with me, and he was like, "Oh, they told me, yeah, you got to move, 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 move. Like, you always got to be moving. They always want to see you moving on camera." And I'm like, for what they're paying, back in 2008, mind you, nobody had a job, so they thought that they could just push everyone around. And that's true. A lot of places were like that. A lot of places asked you for the impossible. Not necessarily to stay. You never got an extra hour, and people always tried their damnedest to keep you under full time. Every job available at the time back then was part time. I remember my mom was like, "Oh, you gotta get a job. You gotta, when I was in college, you get, and the economy was fucking terrible." And I have no qualifications beyond I'm 19 or 20, and maybe have a couple of years of retail, like some time at Walmart. Yeah, I had maybe like about a year or almost 8 months at Walmart. I had a little bit of time at Five Guys because I had both jobs at the same time, and then I had, worked at McDonald's, GameStop, yada yada yada. Yeah, I named a bunch of places. So when you go into an interview with a bunch of places like that, they're always like, "Dad, sounds like you've been around. How do I know you're gonna stay here?" Well, and I always come back, "Well, if you treat me right, I'll stay." And didn't like that. They would want you to sell yourself to them, and it's like whatever. But at the same time, places don't hire you for not having the relative experience. But then nobody was ever willing to give you a chance. But really, what it was that they were thinking, well, now that the economy is shitty, we can definitely net ourselves management material, which some places did. Or some, I mean, I don't know anyone in retail nowadays who's been there for more than 10 years, except for this one guy at this one Walmart who, every time I go in there, I actually had to guard the place for Securitas at one point. And I'm in the back talking to someone, and he wants to fucking talk to me. "Oh, how's it going? Don't I know you? Oh, like, fuck you, dude. Like you were a dickhead to me when I was 18. You're a dickhead to me you're a dickhead to me when I shop there." Because he was always kind of a dick to me every time I would ask him a question when I would shop there. "And now you're being a dickhead to me now. Just fuck off, man." So if there's anything I've learned in my years of experience, and I recently had to go through this with another security company that I worked for, is you gotta stand up for yourself. You can't let yourself be pushed around. You can't be a yes sir, or no sir, yes sir, yes sir, yes man kind of thing, because you'll end up depressed. You end up stretched too thin, and nobody's gonna appreciate it. They're just gonna come to expect it, and then when you don't give them what they expect, then all of a sudden you don't work anymore. Giving the words of Brian Morris when I asked him, when I told him I didn't want to work and I didn't want to keep working an extra 4 hours twice a week. For him to turn around next week and be like, "I'm just calling to relieve you of duty." Like, nigga, you have no fucking right to fire anybody. You just think you do. Remember, kids, I told you about the time I had to stay an extra 4 hours for a couple of weeks and then also work. What was it? I was working 6 days a week too. When I told him, "Hey, I want to not stay an extra 4 hours for those 2 days," he came back with, "I understand you don't want to work." That's the same thing. That's more or less the same line the director of operations, or the former director of operations, the owner's son, came at me with. "Well, it sounds to me like you want to low key slide under the ra- you know, be low key, do less, and slide under the radar." I'm like, "Okay, you have no idea of what I used to do at this previous post, which was a lot more than this bullshit. But I'm being forced to do something that really wasn't my bag to begin with, and given all the responsibility for it, and definitely not being respected for it either. But you seem to think that I'm fucking lazy. You piece of shit." Oh, whatever. And let's move on to the next company I had to work for. I'm not gonna name names because I highly doubt the dude even listens to these fucking things. But I went into that company and I told them what I wanted. "I want a post right, to this town up, the next town over. It's 10 minutes from me. Do you have it or not?" They said, "Yes, and we can get you full time." "Okay." Well, sometimes the post will be blah, blah, blah. We'll try to keep you as close as possible. And I said, okay. Come to find out, for the first 2 weeks I was there, I was sent all the way across town twice a week. Which I told the man, I'm like, driving all the way down there from where I'm at is literally half my tank, half my gas tank. I tested this. I tested this the other day. Driving all the way down to that exit is half, it's literally half of my gas tank. Oh, you're getting some pretty shitty gas mileage. Well, I've got one bald tire, so yeah, probably. That's a strong possibility. So, they kept sending me down there, no matter how many times I told them, hey, don't do that. Okay, gonna send me down there again. Okay. I think the straw that broke the camel's back was I was in a place called Tuscany Cove, and there is no guardhouse. It's this, I mean, this guy is the best way I can describe him is village idiot. This village idiot gets his golf cart and he sits there in front of the gate, waving at dumbasses all fucking day, and letting them in and blah blah blah. It's like the perfect job for an old man who didn't have anything better to do. You know what I mean? Like, that's the kind of thing they want there. So I remember when I pulled up, I spoke to the lady on the phone. She seemed fine, but then when she let me in, her attitude completely changed when she got a look at me. I mean, she went from being all nice, polite, and flirty and laughy or whatever to just being super serious, yelling a little bit. Are you the guy who's gonna be working this week? Are you gonna be working on the weekend? So you're replacing the weekend guy? And I'm like, I have no idea. I'm literally just here for no reason. I have no idea why I'm here other than for training. Oh, okay. So, I tried calling my supervisor, and lo and behold, he didn't answer, and he decided to call back while I was being torrentially rained on the outside, because again, there's no guardhouse, it's an outside post, and a golf cart in the rain. So, we're out there, I'm getting rained on, and he calls me back when I'm getting rained on, and I'm having to process people manually through the front gate. While I'm standing there getting rained on, because the fucking gates don't work, because for some reason the rain knocked out the gates. I'd had a conversation with him the next day, and he was like, and I was like, okay. Oh yeah, I brought up a couple of concerns. I was like, okay, I never want to drive down to Naples ever again. Can I get full time at this post that you said I was gonna get full time at? Well, we can, but you're just gonna have to wait a little bit, blah blah blah, and just wait. I hate that word. Wait. Wait, 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 wait. When it comes to the professional world, don't fucking wait. Okay? If you're waiting, if you requested some kind of accommodation for your job, whether it be a chair, a schedule change, anything like that, don't wait more than a month. If you've waited more than a month, if you waited more than 2 weeks, like a whole pay period, you're not going to get what you requested. So that's why, I learned that from working with this other company for putting in a year and a half. I'd have to beat up this person's ass about getting rid of this other person because they're so annoying before he actually ever did anything about it. Most of the time, he wouldn't. So. No, because so and so quit this other job because they're driving from point A to point B and it's a 45-minute drive and you're only paying them $10 an hour. Yeah, they're gonna want to go drive a truck for fucking 14 or 12.50 an hour. Are you kidding me? I had a guy literally tell me that. He said, "Oh, this dude's gonna quit soon because oh yeah, plays Greninja, his buddy who would relieve him mostly throughout the week." He told me this dude went from working at the guardhouse for about 11.50 an hour to go fucking drive a truck for 12. I went to go drive a truck for an extra dollar an hour at 12.50. gonna wake up at the ass crack of dawn and roll around through the traffic for an extra dollar an hour. Oh, that's because this particular company doesn't play fair. Because they can't. It's like some companies pay you a percentage of what they're being paid, which can turn to be a really shitty pay rate. If it's done that way. Or they can fudge the numbers themselves and decide what they're going to get back out of that post. According, you know, as long as everybody gets paid fairly. That being said, a lot of these posts, like I said earlier, a lot of these rich folks go by what they think the rent is in the immediate area from where they're going to get their guard from. Oh, if he's coming up from Lehigh and it's going to be this and that and this and that, then we think about $1,200 a month is fair. Anything above $1,000 a month is fair. You know, we're paying them $1,500 a month before taxes. That's fair. Or, you know, like my favorite theory, where they think they're paying the guard $3,000 a month. Really, they're paying $1,500 or $1,600, $1,700 to the company, to the house, and then the guard is only seeing about $1,300. I think that's what it is. But that's just me. That's just a theory. A game theory. I mean, I've been to posts where I've been told by the guards that the contract was like fucking $1 million, $3 million, $5 million, $8 million, all this other shit. Then again, at that post, that was my first post for the previous company, and what I learned about that previous company is that just about almost everybody I ran into likes to fuck with people psychologically. I think that shit's fun. Looking at you, Marty, you old piece of shit. I'm waiting for you to die so I can fucking drop you. And when you croak, I hope I'm the one to pick you up from the hospice. And just so you know, I'm gonna drop you on your fucking head. That's neither here nor there, but accidents do happen. On that note, I'm getting too riled up talking about my previous work experiences, so I don't know, I might do a special episode. Might record something else. Might actually wait till I get my official schedule and probably crack a couple of drinks and do another Ren's Drinks. But we'll see. Hopefully I'll have more listeners by then, because Anchor tells me that it's spreading my podcast all over the goddamn place. So it's available on Spotify, it's available on Apple, whatever that is, and a bunch of other stuff there. Anyway, thanks for listening. Happy belated 4th of July on July 17th. And keep it spooky.